Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews, chapter 6. We'll read verses 18 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Hebrews 6, verses 18 through 20. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth within the veil. And let's finish on verse 20 together. Ready? Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for our church. Father, thank you for the family that we have here. Lord, though sometimes we're not related in name, we're related in you. Now, Father, please be with our preacher, fill him with your power. Lord, though there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room in so many needs, only the Holy Spirit, through the man of God, could meet all those needs. Please fill him, fill us with your power as we listen, and please change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I want you this morning to listen as I read a passage of Scripture again to you. I want you to make special note of the fact that in this passage we hear the word hope used. The sermon this morning is on that subject, the subject of hope. The Bible says, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who had fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh my, here God is promising us a thing called hope. Now, the great thing about hope, when it's promised by God, God tells us here, he starts out by saying, I'm not a liar. God said, now I'm not a liar. And I'm about to promise you something. And folks, if God promises you something, you can go to the bank on it. If God said it, it's a done deal. And God comes along and he said, now I want to make you a promise. First of all, I'm not a liar. And then he says, I am going to give you hope. Boy, is that refreshing. Boy, does that bring security to our hearts to know that God can provide hope for you and for me. Now, it also mentions this hope, and it is God that is providing it, not man, but God. You know, I try to provide hope for you, and you may try to provide hope for me, and children might try to provide some hope for parents, and parents might try to provide hope for their children. Husbands may try to provide hope for their wives, and wives may try to provide hope for husbands. And I think we should. I think all of us should try to help one another to have hope. But this is God who cannot lie promising hope. Now that takes that thing to a new level for me. That takes this thing called hope to a new level for you. He tells us that since he can't lie, and he has promised us hope, he said, this is going to become your strong consolation. That's the words that he used there. He said, we might have strong consolation. Now, you say, Brother Owens, what does that word consolation there mean? Well, it's the word comfort. Because God can't lie, and he promises us hope, he said, this is going to become a strong consolation to you. In other words, it's going to become a strong comfort to you. It's going to become a strong encouragement to you. You say, why? Why is that? Because it is God that is promising the hope, and God can't lie. Now, there are times, I think, when you and I think we need comfort. But wait a minute, this doesn't just offer us comfort, It offers us strong comfort. See, I think there are times when we might need consolation, but there are other times in life when we need strong consolation. There are times when we need strong comfort in God. And that's exactly what He promised. He said, you're going to have a strong consolation. You know, I think sometimes, and I think way too often, Christians find themselves feeling hopeless. Hopeless. We as Christians are never to be hopeless. Oh, not as Christians. The word hope here, you say, what does that word actually mean? It means looking forward to God's good by depending on God's promises. You say, what is hope? It's when you and I can look forward to God's good by depending on God's promises. That's what hope is. In other words, hope is there's something good on the horizon, and I believe it. And folks, God said, I'm going to give you hope. What did He mean? I'm going to make sure that as long as you're alive, there's always something good on the horizon. You say, well, what makes that so special? It is God that promised it. And if God promised it, He said, I can't lie, and therefore, I'm promising you hope, and you can be sure of it. Our hope then can be steadfast. When you as a Christian are hopeless, you're doubting something about God. Because God said, I promise you hope. I promise it to you. And so we've got to, as Christians, realize God has promised hope. God can't lie. And God will come through. There's something good on the horizon. Our life is not to be a life full of doubt. Our life is to be a life full of certainty about the goodness of God. For my hope or for your hope to fail, God would have to be a liar. Because God has promised us hope. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You see, because God can't lie, then I can have hope and believer, and I can believe that there is something good on the horizon. According to this passage of Scripture that we read at the beginning of the sermon, Hebrews 6:18, this hope will produce this strong consolation, strong comfort, not weak comfort, not average comfort, strong comfort. If you sit in this auditorium today and you say, preacher, I need strong comfort. God said, I'll give it to you. I will give you strong consolation. I will give you hope. You say, I'm down. Well, let me tell you, if you're down, you have a chance to get back up. You say, I'm hurting. That hurt can and will pass. God said, I'll give you hope. And hope is a belief that God still has something good for you. And by we put our dependence in His promise. He cannot lie. And so God said, Christian, I'll give you hope. You see, when your circumstances are very tough and everything around you seems to be falling apart, you need strong consolation and you need a belief that God is a provider of hope. We all at times need strong encouragement, and hope produces consolation. Hope produces encouragement. Have hope, Christian. Have hope. There's no way that me, as one man, could know everything that the people in this auditorium face this morning. But you go to every pew and there's somebody that faces something, and maybe it's discouraging, maybe it's disheartening, maybe you're maybe even somewhat depressed in life, and you say, preacher, what am I going to do? Well, if I were you, I would believe it when God said, I will give you hope and I can give you strong encouragement in that hope. Hey, it will get better. It will improve. The clouds do not cover the sun all the time. We've seen it and you've seen it. We go through storms in life, but there comes a moment when the clouds roll out of the way and the sunshine shines and the air becomes fresh again. There are people this morning, you live under a cloud right now. You face a difficulty. You face a burden. Eric, be the loss of a loved one to death or a burden for other reasons. And you say it's cloudy right now. It's gloomy right now. It's dark right now. The sun sun will shine again, Christian. God said, I promise you, I am going to provide you with hope. And hope is a belief that there is good on the horizon. And I've got that hope because I know my God doesn't lie. God will. You will see the joy of the Lord again. You will see victory again. You will smile again. You will smell the fresh breeze and the sunshine in your life again. You say, why? God promised. God promised, and God can't lie. God can't lie. Things will improve. You see, I'm glad our hope is based on God, not man. My hope is God made. My hope's not made in China. My hope's God made. My hope's God made. My hope has, it was produced by my God, and He gave a warranty on it. He gave a guarantee on it. In that passage of scripture that we read from Hebrews there, it said that our hope is our refuge. You know, every once in a while you need a refuge. Every once in a while, we almost want to pull away from people and we want to go hide somewhere. Let me tell you where to hide. Hide in the hope and the refuge of God. Go hide with God. It says here that our hope is the refuge of our soul. That word soul there is virtually referring to our emotions. In other words, proper scriptural hope will stabilize your emotions. Hope becomes the refuge for my emotions. Now, folks, the devil wants to discourage you, so he tries to steal your hope. God says in Hebrews 6:19 that this hope that He provides becomes an anchor. This hope that He provides becomes our refuge. This hope that He provides becomes strong hope. Hey, for whatever you face, God can provide you enough hope that you can make it through it and make it through with victory. You know, hopeless people can make some bad decisions about their lives. You say, why? Well, they're not anchored down. The Bible tells us that our hope in God is our anchor. And when somebody's anchored in God and anchored in the truth of God, they're more apt to make good decisions. When we find ourselves hopeless, our emotions are floating all over the place. They're not anchored down. And when your emotions are just flying all over the place, like a boat without an anchor, you're swept this way and that way and this way and that way. And you say, the waves of life are going to overwhelm me. You better be careful making too many decisions when you're not anchored down. But God said in His hope, there is a refuge and it is an anchor for us. Now, that means in God's hope, we can anchor ourselves down so we make good, solid Christian decisions during the storms of life. Hope will stabilize your emotions. Hope will stabilize your decisions. Now, folks, you and I, as the saved, we have available to us the hope that God promised. And we have enough hope available to us to face anything that we face. God may not give you enough hope to face something 5 years from now. You don't need hope for 5 years from now. You need hope for today. And God will give you enough hope today to deal with whatever you face today. Now, let me tell you, God provides the hope. If you're hopeless, then that would have to be your fault, not God's, because God's already provided the hope. Did you know something? Do you know that God loves you?
That's right.
And you might look, you might say, well, I don't feel like He does. That's not because God's not a good lover. Well, I don't feel like God loves me. God loves perfectly and God loves everybody. And if you don't feel like God loves you, that's not God's fault. And God also comes along and says, I will provide you with the hope that you need. And if you say, well, I'm just totally hopeless, God's doing His part. You must receive that love. You must receive that hope. You must by faith say, the Bible said, God will not leave me hopeless. The Bible says that God has something good yet for me on the horizon. And we by faith claim it. We let that calm us. We let that bring security to us. That becomes our anchor. It becomes our refuge. Now, everybody here at one time or another, you need to be able to just look and say, you know what? I don't know what's on tomorrow. I don't know what's going to come. Oh boy, this is tough and I'm down, but I know one thing. God loves me. And because God loves me, He told me there was something good on the horizon, and I'm going to claim it by faith, and I'm going to relax in the arms of Jesus Christ and believe He's going to take care of me. That's what we have to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 19, speaks of proper hope. And it says, if you don't have proper hope, you will be most miserable.
Right.
You ever seen people who are most miserable? You can tell by the way they treat others. They're miserable. You can tell how, you can just look at their face. They're most miserable. You can tell in their actions. You can tell in the tone of their voice. They're just most miserable. What? There's something missing. There is something missing in regard to their spirituality. There's an absence of spiritual hope in their life. And God said, when hope is not applied to the life of a Christian like it ought to be, that they can tend to become most miserable. I called a sermon this morning, Hope, Our Consolation. Hope, Our Consolation. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would expect that you're hopeless. You feel hopeless. And the lost have no real hope, according to the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope. And without God in the world. Oh my. If you're here today and you're not born again, you have a hopeless feeling. You have a hopeless feeling about now, and you'll have a hopeless feeling about later. And I feel for you, and God help you. You know what you need to do? You need to get born again. Because if you'll get born again, God has a way of giving you hope for today. And God has a way of giving you hope for tomorrow. And God has a way of giving you hope for eternity. And you've heard our congregation, you've heard me say this before. I don't understand how lost people in the world deal with the difficulties of life. I don't. I thank God I'm saved. I thank God that today in my bosom burns an element of hope, and I just know no matter what I face, my God has something good tucked in it for me and for you. Hey, I thank God that I've got that hope. But lost people, they don't have that hope. They don't feel that hope. And the further you get away from God, the more hopeless you're going to find yourself feeling at times. Hope apart from Christ is virtually false hope. If you're unsaved, hope is to a degree, it's going to be out of your reach. The greatest hope that you'll have is that you turn to Jesus Christ and get born again so you can have heaven in your future. Proverbs 11:7 says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust men perisheth. Oh my, if you're not saved today, let me recommend Jesus Christ to you. Let me recommend that you get born again. Let me recommend to you that you become a part of the family of God. And we've got a Heavenly Father that puts in our bosom a hope so that we can make it through the toils and the trials of life. The lost, they face death hopelessly. The saved, we face hope with great hope and with great joy. Proverbs 14:32, it says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Folks, have you ever been to a funeral service of a lost person? And everybody around them is lost and they were lost. It's miserable. Matter of fact, it is most miserable. And then you go to a funeral service where that person that has passed on has gone to glory, and that person is in heaven, and that person had hope in Jesus Christ. Totally different attitude, totally different way. There's a difference in it. Why? Because of the hope that is in Christ Jesus. You see, first of all, may I say that the lost, they don't have real hope. But secondly, I think you and I as Christians, the saved people, the Bible says that we're to see, understand, and be able to virtually voice the reason for our hope. You and I, there's a reason for our hope. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We as Christians need to be able to give an answer to others as why we have hope. When somebody says something to you and you're going through a difficult time, but somebody asks you about it, but you find encouragement somewhere. Somebody says, well, how can you be encouraged with what you're facing right now? You better point to the sky and say, I'm encouraged because of my Lord. I'm encouraged because of Jesus Christ. I'm encouraged because He promised me hope. Why do we not give up during the difficult times of life? Because we have hope. We have hope. We have God. Why do I believe that there is good yet on the horizon? Why do I believe that if I'm still alive, it means God still has something good for me? Why do I believe that? Because God can't lie. God can't die. God made me a promise. He promised me hope. And if God promised hope, hope is available to me. What is the reason for the hope of the Christian? Well, because God promised it. What is the reason for the hope that you and I have? It's because God can't lie. What is the reason for the hope that you and I experience? It's because God can't die. What is the reason for the hope that you and I experience? It's because our God is all powerful. Now listen, if some human being comes along and promises you something and they've got a little money in their pocket and they've got a level head on their shoulders, you might get a little security out of that. But can I tell you something? Do you know the one that promised you hope is the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills? Can I tell you something? Hey, it might be that that person, that human being that wants to offer you security, and thank God that you do, and we all ought to offer each other security, but I know one that's bigger than any other human being ever. It is the God of the universe. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He came along and He said, I want to offer you hope. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your needs. That ought to bring some assurance to us. That ought to bring some rest to us. And it's our reason for hope. The Bible says here that ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Listen, we're going to heaven. We ought to always be ready to tell somebody, I'm going to heaven, and let me tell you why. It's because Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and resurrected for me. I trusted Christ as Savior. I'm going to heaven. There's the reason why I have the hope I have about my eternity. Be ready to give that reason. Don't be ashamed of that reason. Hey, my God's all-knowing God. This one that has offered me hope. This one that has given me a positive expectation based on His ability to keep His promises. The one that can't lie. The one that can't die. The one that keeps all of His promises. The one that is the all-powerful one. The one that is the all-knowing one. That's the one that promised me hope. That's the one that promised me there's something good on the horizon. I'll tell you what, that calms me down, and I'm not afraid to tell anybody what my hope is in. Oh, we all stagger a little bit at the economy and what's happening. You just keep your eyes on the eastern skies. You keep your eyes on Jesus. That'll help you through. It'll help you through. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, my hope is in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. I say my hope is in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. Available to you is hope. Available to you is a belief that there is good yet to come based on the promise of a God that can't lie and can't die. Encourage yourself, Christian. Encourage yourself. He promised you hope. That means somewhere in your situation, there's a little flicker of light that God has provided to help you get on top side. You see, the lost, they have no real hope. The saved, we're to be ready to give reason for the hope that is within us. Thirdly, don't you worry. The Bible tells us that our hope will not bring us to shame. Our hope will not bring us to shame. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hey, you go ahead and be encouraged. You will not be ashamed. You say, I'm going to choose to place my faith in the hope that God has offered. You go ahead and do it. Don't worry. God won't shame you. God won't embarrass you. God won't show up late. God will do exactly what needs to be done in your situation. You can depend on it. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Hey, we all look forward to that day when we get to be in heaven. You say, Brother Owens, you know, I'm banking on salvation. I'm banking on Jesus. I mean, I'm not going to pass away and it all be a hoax. Don't you worry about a thing. There's a real place called heaven. Hope. You just go ahead and hope in Jesus Christ and hope in your salvation. It's a real place and the saints of God are there today and you will not be ashamed when you step from this life into the next life and you're there in glory playing tag with the angels someday. You won't be ashamed. Go ahead and get yourself some encouragement. You won't be ashamed. Go ahead and have some courage for God. Why? God's not going to let you come to shame over the hope that lieth in you. Go ahead and believe that there is good yet to come. Go ahead and believe that God can. Go ahead and believe that God can't lie and God can't die and that God loves you. Go ahead and believe it. Don't doubt God. Go ahead and have hope in God. He's not gonna shame you. He's not gonna let you down. You and I as Christians, we can make promises to one another. We can say all sorts of things, but we can have the tendency in our frailty, and not even necessarily on purpose, but in our frailty, we can let one another down. Well, God won't let you down. God won't let you down. You say, well, He let me down. Well, you're sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. My God is a perfect God. The one who is not seeing it straight is you. God has not let you down. God's a good God. God's a loving God. God's a powerful God. God knows what's best. He always does. Put your faith in God. Put your hope in God. Don't be ashamed to believe. The Bible says in Psalm 30 verse 5, for His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Sure, folks, in this life, we're going to have moments when our hearts will be broken. We're going to have times when our hearts are heavy. We're going to have times where we grieve and we hurt and we're lonely and we feel the pain and emotional turmoil. But God says here, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What is that? That's hope. That's hope. That's hope. Those of you say, I've cried a bucket of tears over my heartache and I've cried a bucket of tears over my loss. That's okay. And you go ahead and cry those tears. There's nothing wrong with tears. But let me tell you, joy will come in the morning. Joy will come in the morning. Ere it be in the morning in this life or in the next life, there's coming a day when we'll all be over in glory. No more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more heartache. But we come out of this thing on top side, folks. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. That's the way God planned it. Don't be ashamed to believe God. Our hope is not going to bring shame to us. Go ahead and be encouraged. God won't shame you in that encouragement. Go ahead and gather some courage and gather that hope and just believe tomorrow will be a better day and next week may be a better week or next month may be a better month. Go ahead and do it. Hey, God said, I'm not going to try to make you ashamed because you put your faith in me and you believed in my hope. Go ahead and believe that there is good yet to come in your life. Don't be ashamed to witness to people. Don't be afraid to tell people about heaven. You say, I don't want to be embarrassed. Listen to me, my friend. For every person that you tell about heaven, there is a reward. And believe you me. You say, well, I'd hate to tell somebody about heaven and salvation and later on find out that there's no real place called heaven. But there is a place called heaven. And you ought to be ready to give an answer to everybody about the hope that lieth in you. Tell them about Jesus Christ. We're not going to be ashamed. The human race, we're frail. We're frail. And we have our moments and we wonder. But folks, God's real. The Bible's His book. There is a place called heaven. God is there. It's real. It's real. It's real. Have hope. Have hope. Believe in it. Lock into it. Don't be ashamed to believe. Hey, don't be ashamed to believe that in your impossible situation that God's able. Think of the stories in the Bible. Think of those. Think of Daniel being thrown into that lion's den. I'm glad that Daniel was not ashamed. I think Daniel had hope. I think when they threw him into the lion's den and had those hungry lions, I'm just sure that Daniel, he looked down into that lion's den and he wondered what was just about to happen. Was he about to become Purina Cat Chow? What was about to happen to him? But thank God, Daniel, I know there's no doubt in my mind, in his heart was a hope that God could deliver him. And most would have thought, this is a hopeless situation. You take that man, you throw him into that den with those hungry lions, that is hopeless. And I'm sure people said, oh my, and they didn't know how to contend with it. Somewhere tucked in the heart of Daniel was a hope and a belief that God could even help him to face the impossible. And some of you right now, you say, my situation seems impossible. Have hope. Have hope. Believe that God can get involved. Believe that there is good on the horizon. Hope. Our strong consolation. We need the encouragement that hope brings. We need that we need that positive touch from God. And God said, I'll give you that positive touch if you want it. By faith, believe that I'll help you. And by faith, believe I can handle this thing. Oh, we need to have hope. We need to have hope. The Bible says here in Romans 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want you to notice something there. It says that hope is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. If you're a young Christian under the sound of my voice, the Bible teaches this. When you get saved, Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit moves into you and you become His dwelling place. So sealed in every one of us is the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within us. The Bible tells us here that hope comes by the movement of that Holy Spirit. He is the one that induces, if you will, that Holy Spirit or that hope. The Holy Spirit's the one that He kind of interjects it. He kind of pumps it into our system. I'll give you all some advice. See, Brother Owens, I'm at the bottom. I don't know what to do. I'm wore out and I am hopeless. If I were you today, as a result of this sermon, I would turn to the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you and say, oh, Holy Spirit of God, I need hope. Give me hope. And He will. But it says here, which is shed abroad in our hearts in reference to hope by the Holy Ghost. That's one reason why the lost do not have the hope that they need, because the Holy Spirit is not sealed within them. But you and I, as born again Christians, have the Spirit of God inside us. And folks, on a day when your sister can't comfort you, and your son can't comfort you, and your daughter can't comfort you, and your preacher can't comfort you, and your friends can't comfort you, the Holy Ghost of God can insert and pump into you an encouragement and a hope about tomorrow that only God can birth into your body, birth into your mind, and birth into your heart. The Bible says that hope comes from the Holy Ghost. We don't always know what words to say. We stumble for the right words to say. But the Holy Spirit never stumbles for right words. Every word the Holy Spirit of God's ever been involved in was perfect, inspired. Every word! See, our hope is not going to bring us to shame. It's going to come, if you'll allow it, from the Holy Spirit of God. There are people today. You walk in the back door of this church. Nobody knows your burden. Nobody knows your heartache. You have been listening to this sermon on hope, and I'll tell you what's happened. The Holy Spirit of God, knowing your need, has flipped on a switch in your life and in your heart as I speak, and you are now getting the hope that you need because of the Holy Ghost that lives inside you. That's exactly what He promised to do. He promised that you may not tell anybody what your burden is. It may be that nobody knows exactly what you're facing, but the Spirit of God does. Let Him give you hope. You see, the Bible teaches us that the lost have no real hope. They don't have real hope. Secondly, The saved, we are to be ready to give a reason to every man for the hope that lieth within us. Thirdly, we find out that our hope is not going to bring us to shame. Go ahead, have hope. It's okay. Put your faith in the hope that God promised. He can't lie. He can't die. He promised. It's available. And I'll remind you, God said it's available. And you say, well, I'm still hopeless. That becomes your responsibility because He has made an element of hope available to you for your situation. Then I find that this thing called hope, it'll purify us. It'll purify us. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous to us." And it goes on and it tells us that in hope there is a purification that takes place. Hope purifies. Hopeless people don't usually get better. Hopeless people get worse. Now, let me recommend to you. You say, I'm hopeless. I'm going down. You better look for that element of hope. You better go ahead and accept that hope by faith in God. Because you all know it. I mean, don't we, those of you that are adults, don't you know when you get hopeless, if you're not careful, you're going to make things worse? Don't we realize we don't want to go any lower? And don't we realize we don't want to be any more hopeless? And I'm telling you that hopeless people get worse, not better. That's why we need hope. That's why we need by the Holy Spirit to be energized about the hope that is within us. So many times hopeless people go backwards in regard to purity in life. Your life gets worse as you entertain that hopeless feeling. Hopeless people begin to lose their separation from worldly things. Did you know that hope makes marriages better? Hope can purify a marriage. A wife needs hope that those things in the marriage that need to be fixed can be fixed. And with God, nothing is impossible. A husband needs hope that things can be fixed. And a parent needs hope that that child will obey and do what's right. When there is hope, it purifies relationships. Hope is a purifier. Hope makes churches better. You see, here at our church, we believe that there is good on the horizon for our church. Good. We believe that. It makes a church better. It makes a church stronger. I know churches everywhere that pretty well have given up on God using them. They just assemble and get together to get the responsibility of having a church service over with. And that church is not getting better. It is not purifying itself. But you show me a church that says, I believe on the horizon is revival, and I believe on the horizon are greater and better things. All of a sudden that hope comes, it energizes, and we may have wept at night, but joy comes in the morning. And churches begin to lose their hope and they lose their vision. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen. Hope purifies. Hope purifies marriages, and hope purifies ministries, and hope purifies dreams, and hope purifies individuals, and hope purifies churches. We've got to have hope. And what is that hope? It is a positive belief of that something good is on the horizon, not based on my promise or your promise, but based on God's promise. And He can't lie. And He can't die. That's why He said it. That's why He said, by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, that's encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. He said, there's something good on the horizon. I promise you that. Keep on going. No matter how far down your spirit may be, you decide there's something good. And that one little trickle of good makes you say, you know what? I think I'll get up and try again. I'm going to try again. Hey, those that quit and walk away are usually those that are hopeless. Right. You've got to believe there's something good on the horizon. That's the hope of God. And that brings to you strong consolation, strong encouragement, strong comfort. The lack of hope brings a lack of purity. I think America, we've got to be careful, folks. America tends to more and more have a lack of hope.
Yes, sir.
Notice, as the hope deteriorates, so does the purity of the nation.
Right.
As the hope deteriorates, so does the purity of the nation. Folks, we ought to believe that God could still work revivals in the United States of America. And as we believe it, I believe to whatever degree we believe and whatever influence God can give us, we can see America become purer. We're to use the dose of hope that we have. If everybody wants to give up hope on America, okay, I guess that's their responsibility. But at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we believe we can still make a dent in America. We can still help America to be strong. We've got to keep that hope, and that hope will create a certain element of purity in America. Well, the Bible tells us, hope purifies. Hope purifies. Lady said to me, she had fallen. She had gone in, she had committed adultery. And she said, and this probably been 15, 18 years ago, she said to me, she said, "Brother Owens, I, in a moment of weakness, I did something that I shouldn't have done. And the moment I realized what I had done, the moment I realized I had committed adultery," she said, "my heart was broken and I was devastated. I realized I'd been tricked by the devil and I realized that he had lied to me and I realized what I had done and how bad it was." She said, "and all of a sudden, it seemed like the devil said to me, 'Well, you've blown it. You don't have any more chances. Your husband's going to leave you. Everybody's going to hate you. They're not going to accept you. Nobody in Christianity is going to like you anymore.'" And she said, the minute the devil came, he tried to take that little hope from me. She said, "and so I went back to a man I should have never been with in the first place, because," she said, "I thought it was all that I had left." She said, "I just gave up hope." I counseled her. I told her, "Oh, no, there's hope. You need to leave the bad relationship and you need to do what's right." She said, but is there hope?" I said, "Yes, there's hope. Yes, there's hope. You're still alive, aren't you? God promised hope." She's happily married today to her husband. Serves God faithfully. What had happened? She'd made a mistake and the devil came and tried to steal all hope from her. So she continued in her sin because the devil had stolen hope that God was a God of a second chance. Right. And let me tell you, if last night you did something stupid in your life and you're looking at the thing and saying, "Oh my, I guess I'm going to just going to have to go ahead and live for the devil. I guess I'm just going to go ahead and live separated from God. Look what I've done. There's no hope." Yes, there is hope. Yes, there is hope. God can restore you and forgive you, and God can help you, and God can reuse you and use you again. Don't you lose hope. Don't you lose hope. See, hope purifies. And the minute hope is stolen from us, we start going downhill. We get worse and worse in our attitude and worse in our behavior and worse in our outlook in life. Hopeless people are most miserable people, the Bible says. Did you know that hope will make you healthy? Make your heart healthy. Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Now, if hope deferred maketh the heart sick, that means hope being present makes the heart healthy. Now, I don't believe that that word heart there is the pumping organ that pumps blood through our body. I believe that that word heart there, most of the time when you see the word heart in the Bible, is talking about the seat of your emotions. That's the computer that runs your emotions. That's what it means by our giving our heart to the Lord. It does not mean you take your heart out and you hand it to God through surgery. It means that you have taken that thing called the seat of your emotions and you hand it to God. Here the Bible says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." I'll tell you why some people have such bad attitudes. There's an absence of spiritual hope in their life.
Right.
An absence of spiritual hope. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. If you have a sick attitude, if you have a sick spirit, somewhere along the line, hope has been detracted. Spiritual hope has been pulled away, pushed away from your thinking. People that are hopeful have joy. People that have hope in their life, they have joy. You can tell. They're happy people. They're happy people. Anybody, and I'll mention this in a moment. Anybody that knew Brother Mike Bajent, you know he was a man of hope. I mean, all the way down to the moment that he passed into glory, he had hope. He had joy. Oh, what is that? He had hope.
Yes, sir.
And hope makes a man's spirit healthy. And if your spirit's not healthy and your attitude's not healthy and your relationships aren't healthy, somewhere along the line, hope has been suppressed or stolen or pushed out of the road. And I'm talking about spiritual hope. That's where God has something good for you and wants to use you to do something. And there's something on the horizon provided by God for you. This is not a reference to the organ, that blood pumping organ. When it talks about it maketh the heart sick, but I will tell you this, hope will reduce stress, and stress will make the physical organ of your heart sick. I believe that when we have hope, it relaxes us in the midst of turmoil. Spiritual hope will relax us to a degree in the midst of turmoil. When we relax, it puts less stress on the heart. So I guess this passage of Scripture about the heart, it could be talking about our emotions being healthy, and it could talk about the physical organ of the heart being healthy as a result of what? Our great consolation. What's our great consolation? The hope that God promised us. What's hope? That's God saying, I believe I've got something good for you on the horizon, and I'm not a liar, and if I told you I was going to do something good on the horizon, I'm going to do it. Relax, my child. I've got everything under control. He is our hope. He's our hope. The Bible even tells us that hope brings assurance to our lives. Hebrews 6:11 says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. That's full. Not half full, but full. Full assurance. Unto the end, it says. That's not for a day. It's not a matter of we can have hope for a day. He said till the end. That's every day between now and then. He promises us a full assurance of hope unto the end. Oh, God's a good God. God is a good God. We as Christians are to fill our lives with a full assurance of hope. God has something good on the horizon, and we need to have faith in it. Did you know some of you, this thing called hope, could heal up some of your depression? It could heal up some of your depression. I really believe that depressed people are often people that don't see any way out. They don't see the solution. Let me tell you something. You might not see the solution, but if you can see the one that can solve everything, you might not find yourself as depressed. Finally, and I'm finished, we need to set our hope in God. Set it. S-E-T. Set. Psalm 78:7 says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. The word set there means lock in.
Yes, sir.
Lock in. You know, when you set the hook, you give it a yank and you lock it in. Let the cement set. You know, you take wet cement, you stick a pole in it, and you let it set, and what happens? You can't pull that pole up out of the ground. It's set. It's time for some of you to set your hope. Set it. Get your eyes on God and don't let anything get your eyes off of God. Believe that your God's a good God. Set that thing. Put in cement your belief that God is a good God. You believe that God is going to meet your need. You believe that God, though you might know the solution, God does. Some of you need to set your hope. Accept that strong consolation. Hey, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I'd get saved if I were you. This thing called hope, this encouragement that comes from within, this element created by God that says, I have something for you. You may have wept through the night, but there's joy coming in the morning. This thing that makes us say, you know what, I think I can. You know what, I think I'll go on. And you know, I just know that I'm going to make it. And I just know that I can take it. Somehow, I believe it's going to be okay. Somehow, I believe it. That's hope. I was thinking about Mrs. Bajan. Brother Mike went to heaven on Friday morning. And the last words she heard him say, she said, it's going to be okay. You know what he was telling you? Have hope. Have hope. Mrs. Bajan, he's with Jesus. Heaven's real. And it's going to be okay. Folks, are you saved? it's going to be okay. What do you face? If you're saved, it's going to be okay. If I could make your burdens go away, I would. If I could make your heartache go away, I could. But I might not be able to do that. But one thing I can tell you, God knows what He's doing. It's going to be okay. Say, what is that? That's hope. That's hope. If you're not careful, you'll be miserable unless you just, in your heart, say, by faith, I'm going to believe it's going to be okay. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I can't promise you it's going to be okay. Because if you're unsaved, there's a place of doom. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. The Bible says if you're not saved, you won't go to heaven. Boy, that's not a way to live. Oh, don't live with no hope for eternity. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I beckon, I plead with you. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Trust Him as Savior. Get saved today. Let God put His Holy Spirit in you, which can then provide the hope that you need, the hope for today and the hope for your eternity. Is there anybody here today that would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not even saved. I need to be born again. I'm not born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. God bless you. I see your hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I see that hand. You say, I'm not born again. I need to be saved. Boy, I'll tell you something. You get saved, you got heaven as your hope. You'll go to heaven someday. Anyone at all, anyone else, you say, I'm not saved. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not born again. That's what I need. I want the hope of heaven. I don't want the fear of hell. I want the hope of heaven. Pray for me. Anyone else? God bless you. Those of you that raised your hand, if you're not saved, in a moment, we're going to have what's called an altar call. In a second, the congregation will stand. The choir will sing. As they stand, as we sing, the men on the platform will leave the platform and they'll stand down front on the lower level. If you're not saved, you leave your seat. Eric, be in the balcony or on the lower floor. Just leave your seat. Come into this auditorium, walk down an aisle, walk up to one of the assistant pastors or deacons down front and say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved, and you'll have put into you the one who provides all hope. Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit will move in and take care of your hope needs. Who here today would say, preacher, I'm saved, but my hope has been waning some. Maybe I've not accepted that hope and I've not retrieved it. I've not by faith grabbed a hold of some hope that I need. And this morning I've decided I believe there's something good on the horizon, and I'm going to have hope because God promised me that there's something good yet to come. And today, I just want God to see, I'll accept the hope. I want the hope. I'll receive the hope that you make, that God makes available. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I just need an extra dose of hope right now. And I'm willing and I want it. And I'm desirous of it. You may put your hands down. There's somebody, you face the impossible. Maybe you need to come down here and get on your knees and say, oh God, I face the impossible, but you promised hope and I claim it. Maybe it's with a child. Maybe it's with a mate. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's with your job. You maybe need to come down here and say, God, I want the hope. I claim it. I want it. I want hope. And maybe you just grieve and your heart is heavy. If you need this altar, you come. Ask the Holy Spirit to do for you what He can. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. You come if your heart is heavy and you're grieving. You come. You come if you face something in life that's just heavier than you. There's hope. God still loves you. God can still use you. God can still do something in your life. Somebody here looks at a child and you say, is there any hope? Yes. If that child is alive, there is hope. You look at your marriage and as you glance at it, you ask yourself, is there hope? What a mess! You're still alive. There's hope. It's going to be all right. Hopeless people make it worse. Hopeless people make bad decisions. Hopeless people drive their potential into the ground. Just give it up. Can't be done. Well, there are things that I can't do and things you can't do. God, with God, all things are possible. Hope. Hope. consolation in regard to the hope that is set before us. It is an anchor for the soul, an anchor for my emotions. Sure, my emotions will be affected, and I'll weep, and I'll grieve, and I'll hurt, but I'm anchored. I'm not wavering in where I'm going. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to keep that element of sunlight available in my heart. Don't worry. If you exercise hope, believe in God, He won't embarrass you. He won't embarrass you. Don't be afraid to give people reason for the hope that lies within you. That hope will purify. People that give up hope go backwards in their purity, not forward. They go backwards in their decision making. They go backwards in their behavior. Don't you give up on God. Why don't you come? If you've been saved and you never follow the Lord in believer's baptism, why don't you come? Song, please. One more verse for us. If spiritual hope is not proper in your life, the Bible tells us that it's going to make you emotionally sick. It's going to make you maybe even physically sick to the point that the stress or the lack of hope could affect the organ of the heart. Oh my, do we need hope? Let's have a seat.